So after a few decades, it's time to get curious again by asking questions like, what excites you at this stage of life? What are your hopes and fears today? So it also helps to talk about shared vision, asking questions like, what do we want this new season to look like?
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I am Delia and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. As the years go by, marriage enters new seasons, ones that look very different from the early days of building a home or raising young children. The empty nest years can bring both freedom and unexpected challenges. With grown kids and quieter homes, couples often find themselves asking, who are we now? And what are we to each other? And in this episode, we explore how to nourish your spouse in the later years. When routines shift and priorities change, how do we rediscover shared dreams? To share their insights on this topic, we are glad to have Chris and Clarinda back on this podcast with us. They have been married 30 years and they have two young adult girls. If you missed the first part of their sharing, do check it out as there are many good tips there on building a strong foundation in the early years of marriage. Chris and Clarinda, I'm so glad that you're back with us at the Connect 2 podcast.
Hello.
Hello, glad to be back.
Wonderful. And just to introduce yourself to our listeners, could you share a fun fact about yourselves?
When I was a varsity student in the United States, I did a super tough job as a bookman selling educational books door to door in a huge county. We did this during hot summers, and I lost 5 kilograms in just 3 months. And I had very interesting experiences or encounters. I was attacked by 2 Rottweilers. I was surrounded by police cars as I was suspected to be in the wanted list. And something more lighthearted, I got a free haircut by a kind customer in her home who took pity on a college student who had not had his haircut for about, 3 months?
Wow, very resilient. And I think some experiences that none of us would ever have in our lives. How about you, Clarinda?
Okay, a fun fact about me is that I was a food writer at Singapore Press Holdings about more than 20 years ago, long before social media and the days of influencers. So, and being exposed to so many varieties of fine aesthetics that go with it, it has inevitably influenced the way I prepare food for the family. So when the kids were young, I'll do things like stick broccoli stems into mashed potatoes, arrange them on the plate, and then spin a little story about the kids being hungry dinosaurs prowling around and devouring every tree in sight. So vegetables went down much faster that way. When they were older, I started preparing simple restaurant cafe-style meals and plating them nicely for a bit of sensory appeal to welcome them home after a long day at school. So food really has a way of connecting to the heart. When my children know the effort I put into preparing meals that they enjoy, they naturally respond by making the effort to come home on time, sit together, and engage in real conversations around the table as a family.
Wow, I'd love to join you for a family meal one day to hear and to just try something that you prepare and have part of these conversations. Could you share with us some key differences you observed in the way that you nurture emotional connection with one another during the phase of busy years, or may I say blurry years, raising young children versus the current phase of marriage where your children are now grown up?
One of the differences would simply be that we have more time with each other. When the kids were younger, parenting took enormous time and emotional energy. You have 3, so you would know. So school demands logistics and constant nurturing. Naturally, much of our focus was on the children then. And now that one daughter is married and the other a working adult, we have the time to reconnect and rediscover each other. So it's amazing what uninterrupted time does. We can have proper conversations without someone calling, Mom, Dad. So we can go for dinner, travel, or simply sit together without rushing. So that naturally rebuilds emotional closeness and revives the friendship in our marriage. Parenting is beautiful, but it's also heavy. So I often think of it like farming, planting seeds, nurturing them, and trusting that their roots grow deep enough to withstand the storms of life. So in this new season, for us, there's a deep sense of satisfaction in seeing our years of sacrifice and hard work bearing fruit. It really feels like a season of harvest now that the children have all grown up. And there's a lot of shared gratitude, not just for who our children are becoming, but for how much both of us have grown through the journey together. So if I were to sum up, the later years of marriage really bring time and space to enjoy each other again, and the quiet joy of seeing our children rooted and growing into their own.
Well, just I hear you share, it brings a lot of balance to the perspective, right? Many times we say hindsight, we had perfect vision, but actually in the process of going through those years, the blurry years of raising young children, many couples lose touch of how it looks like to foster emotional connection, such that when they reach the empty nest years, they wonder to themselves, do I still know you?
Right.
Do I still enjoy being with you? What are some practical things that you have done to nurture emotional connection with one another?
Now that our daughters have grown, Clara and I, you know, we find ourselves talking to them a lot about adulting topics, such as work, relationships, finances, values, and life decisions. Through these conversations, I also discovered new perspective from Clarinda. Hearing how she thinks and feel about these topics or issues helped me, you know, to understand her viewpoint better, appreciate her more, and connect with her at a deeper level. And one key difference between then and now, you know, is that our conversations become, I would say, more mature. We move from those parenting day kind of topics to adult life discussions. In the process, we are actually rediscovering each other again.
When I think about nourishing a marriage, I'm reminded of the Chinese tonic soup. So when I heard a pastor at a wedding say that marriage is the start of a new norm, a norm of patience, kindness, humility, forgiveness, and so on, I thought of these qualities as ingredients in the tonic soup. It takes hours of slow simmering to draw out the deep flavors, nutrients, and medicinal compounds of all the ingredients in the soup. And after all these years of honing those qualities, I would like to think that our pot of tonic soup should be in its most concentrated form by now, and that we are currently enjoying the nourishment from getting the concoction right over time. So many couples think that they can put off investing in their marriage and make it up later when they have more couple time. But the reality is, if those marriage norms aren't practiced early on, hurts and resentment can quietly build up along the way. So by the time there's more time together, the relationship may first need healing before any real nourishment can take place. So while nourishing our marriage looks different today compared to the early years, the essence hasn't changed. It's still about consistent, intentional investment, just enjoyed in a richer, deeper way now.
Wow, you're truly a food writer. And as you describe that, I'm picturing a flame that is constantly on in order for the soup to continuously boil and draw out the essence, right? The consistency of being present and interested in each other is what keeps that flame of connection there. Through your years together, were there moments of sensed loneliness or disconnection from each other? And what were some things that helped you to work through them?
The early years of marriage are filled with unique challenges and opportunities for growth. What happens after saying, I do? At the Connect to Just Married workshop, you will gain practical tools to work through differences and conflicts and learn ways to keep the romance alive. If you have been married for 5 years or less, this workshop is for you. Get more information at www.family.org.sg/C2JustMarried.
I like to have my calendar filled with activities. And now that I'm retired, I like to plan activities that I do together with my dear wife. But she's quite different. On the other hand, she does not quite like having her calendars filled to the brim, especially those that require preparation or active participation. She prefers to plan well in advance and leave time for herself. So at times, these different rhythms can create a disconnect. So what has helped us through this is that for me to learn to slow down and not over-organize our time. This has helped us respect each other's space as well as stay more connected.
It's also learning each other's preferences, right? Like discovering how we are wired and what energizes us. Yeah, and I hear you share that you know that both of you are wired differently, you recharge differently, and learning to give other the space to be in your own arena to recalibrate, and then from there also find opportunities to be together and enjoy new experiences together. Well, in each episode, we address a frequently asked question that couples have about marriage, and today's question comes from a husband. He asks, "My wife and I recently became empty nesters, and honestly, I didn't expect to feel this lonely. The house feels quiet, and sometimes I'm not sure how to talk and connect with her now that our kids are not around. How do you work through this disconnection and find that closeness again?"
What he is feeling is actually very common, especially for couples whose lives have revolved around parenting for many years. When the children leave home, routines change overnight, and this season can feel unfamiliar, giving rise to new emotions and, in this case, loneliness. Mm. So the first step is to acknowledge the change together. Talk about how each of you is feeling without blaming each other. This helps to see that the disconnection is just part of a transition. So the encouraging thing is that all the emotional energy you once poured into raising your children can now be rechanneled back into your marriage. So rebuilding emotional intimacy in this season starts with rediscovery. Remember when we were dating, even for Chris and I, and we asked each other everything? So after a few decades, it's time to get curious again by asking questions like, "What excites you at this stage of life? What are your hopes and fears today?" So it also helps to talk about shared vision, asking questions like, "What do we want this new season to look like?" A shared vision reconnects hearts and reminds us that our story as a couple isn't over. It's simply entering a new chapter. And that's why I think one of the reasons why we always still feel very connected, because we always have such conversations together. Another way I would say to find that closeness again is to create new routines with your wife. A walk after dinner, a Netflix night, or anything you both enjoy. So these small moments may seem ordinary, but they slowly rebuild connection. When the children leave home, emotional intimacy doesn't disappear. It waits to be rebuilt. And we're experiencing it now, now that one of our daughters is married. We are really building emotional intimacy. And then with intention and patience, this season can lead to an even deeper and more meaningful connection than ever before. And I think we are already experiencing this. So I'm thankful.
And perhaps I can just add on also. I think when a relationship begins to feel mundane, I think it's good to start with gratitude, being thankful that we still have our wives by our side. You know, the emptiness you're experiencing can be a fresh opportunity to rekindle the love you shared in earlier years. Women need to feel love. So ask yourself, does my wife feel love? Am I loving her in ways that matter to her, according to her love language, not just mine? When a woman feels love, she will respond more positively to new ideas or suggestions that you may have.
Like arranging plate doesn't your way.
Right. And as Clarinda shared earlier, you know, reconnection is possible when we are intentional. So take that first step. Perhaps this weekend, date your wife out, bring her to her favorite restaurant, listen to her heart and her dreams. And you can discuss things to dream together. You know, come up with a simple and yet creative way you both can agree on and do it right away, perhaps next week. So small intentional steps can actually, you know, restore zeal, connection and joy in your marriage.
Yeah, you know, as I hear you share, I was brought to mind like something that my husband and I agreed to do. What happened was we were actually attending this marriage reflection discussion, right? And then an action point from there was to actually plan to rekindle friendship between us, you know? Mm. And I mean, we were married 11 years and even then, because life can get so fast paced and sometimes we lose touch of being emotionally close, we agreed that we are going to recreate our first date. So it's one of the things that we're going to do, I mean, put a date to it. Yeah, it was really because for us, photography is something that we enjoy, and our first date revolves around photography. So we're going to actually explore those places again and recapture those moments. And I think it's really about recognizing what drew us together, what brought us together in terms of our shared interests, maybe even hobbies, and then recreating moments that we can look back on together and, you know, have a good smile and laugh about it. Another thing that we also talked about was we are going to recreate some dishes, like food items that we enjoy, but we haven't really had a chance to try cooking. So that's having fun together. I think that's what couples sometimes need to be intentional to do in order to discover the friendship that they have, apart from all the other things that they need to do to run the home.
Wow, those are very good ideas. Well, for us, we have to try to recreate our first date. That location is no longer around, I think.
Yeah.
So cute. All right. Thank you, Chris and Clorinda, for sharing so authentically on the ups and downs of marriage in the later years. Actually, before you go, I want to ask one more question. Where do friends and community come into the picture for you through your years of marriage, and how has that helped you to stay connected also?
In terms of community, of course, we have our church community that we are very close to for like the last 20 over years. And of course, we have many, many friends. In fact, we see a lot of our friends, children grow up and all. And we do have quite a few of the common friends that we actually go out with and connect with. So I think that's very, you know, important, because I think we have some common friends that can actually associate with. And these friends can be very dear in terms of how we can actually confide with them and they have issues and so on. So as a couple, I think it's good to have a community of close friends, or the other community is actually our own relatives. So very important.
Thank you. And Clorinda, yourself, where do you see having trusted friends in your life helping you to also discover nourishing marriage?
Friends actually play a very, very important role in our lives, in our marriage. So right from the beginning, we were very mindful that the children would be with us only for a season, and that one day it will just be the two of us again. And so while we were fully invested as parents, we were intentional about staying connected as a couple throughout our marriage. Then it will also mean that we should have some common friends, some structures in our marriage built early on, so that even though we are raising the family together, we are still continuing to build a regular rhythm and connection throughout the marriage through the structures that we build for just the both of us. So friends and community, it's definitely very important.
Sometimes we do have certain issues that we share with our friends, because we would have to be really honest about our feelings and so on. And with that, I feel that that helps us to connect at a deeper level.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I agree with you, because it's one thing to actually build friendship between a couple. It's also another to actually involve others in our life so that we can actually get new perspectives. And that actually helps us to invest back into the marriage on an ongoing basis, right? Because we are actually definitely part of a larger community and we don't exist in silo. Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that when you actually started off in your marriage, you were very intentional to keep these structures in your life, because that gives you a safety net or community to fall back on, to actually rely on, and also for you to contribute back to, right? When you actually keep a lookout for others in your family and your extended relatives or even your friends. All right, so before you go off, any other thoughts or tips that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Marriage has different seasons and each one is beautiful in its own way. There is spring, the honeymoon phase full of excitement and fresh beginnings. Then comes summer, the busy years of building careers and raising children. Autumn, when the children leave the nest and couples rediscover each other. And eventually winter, a quieter season marked by the comfort of having walked a long road together. So each season has its own beauty and needs. What keeps a marriage strong is learning how to nourish your spouse differently in each season. And when you do, love deepens with time.
Take each season in its stride. Every relationship goes through changes and challenges, and that's okay. What matters most isn't having everything figured out, but choosing to stay hopeful and intentional, taking small, consistent steps to nourish each other so that you're able to nurture a long and enriching relationship.
Thank you so much for sharing those reflections. It's so heartfelt and it really encompasses the journey you have taken together in the past 30 years. And I believe many more years ahead, even as you love and grow with each other and also encourage other couples on your journey. Now, in each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do with one another. And if you are listening to this podcast with your spouse, here's your challenge for this week. For this coming week, pick an activity neither of you has ever done together before, like going on a cooking class, take on a trail, or volunteer together, and schedule a time to do it. New experiences create fresh memories and can help you rediscover each other anew. Or perhaps you might just be like me and my husband, trying to recreate a date that you have shared together. Now, we really hope that you have found today's episode helpful and encouraging. And as always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Follow us on Facebook, focusonafamily.sg, and also visit our resources at www.family.org.sg. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, it is possible to build a loving marriage that lasts a lifetime.